All right, everybody, it's your favorite substitute co-host, Greg Rice, Nexus Property Management. We're in the bucket. And we're also in Massachusetts. We got offices now in Natick and Worcester. We're in Worcester. And we just opened offices in Connecticut. We're in New Haven. That's where I'm from. I'm from New Haven, Connecticut. And we also have an office in Phoenix, Arizona. So we are growing slowly but surely. And today I want to talk specifically about Rhode Island. Rhode Island used to have money on the ground. Okay. And what I mean by that is opportunity. The opportunity when I started in this business to get into real estate was almost wide open. The barn door was wide open. And I mean that in a few ways. The pricing was reasonable, okay? You were spending about $50,000 per unit. So if you're looking at a three unit, for example, $150,000 occupied. Not the most attractive and sexy property, but it was functional. And you could do upgrade and renovate as you want. Now, also at that time frame, interest rates were relatively reasonable, 4 to 5%. Inventory was high. There was a lot of options, okay? And the interest level from the public was moderate to low. It wasn't as popular. It wasn't as glorified. It was not talked about on the news, okay? So that created a perfect storm for me to get my career started. And I'm fresh out of college, okay, fresh off of a denial to be a state trooper. Okay, that was my life's plan, was to be a state trooper. I interned at the Rhode Island State Police for 3 years, okay, as a volunteer. I didn't get paid for it, in order to prep and mold myself to be the best candidate possible. But unfortunately, tattoo on my arm, on my forearm, excluded me from that. So then I ended up getting into real estate. So at that time, I knew nothing, is my point. I didn't know anything other than, yeah, people rent and people buy. That's as much as I knew. So I'm at Nexus a couple of years. I'm renting out the apartments and the homes. And I say, wow, these landlords are really doing a good thing here. One's in Florida, one's in California, another one's in Texas, and they're just getting their money direct deposited to them. And I'm here, boots on the ground, dealing with the tenants. We got our maintenance guys, we're doing evictions, we're doing all sorts of stuff, and they never have to lift a finger. The only finger they lifted was the pen at the closing table, okay? So that's starting to click to me. So after a couple of years, I say, you know what, I'm going to start getting involved, and I acquire my first property, yada, yada. Fast forward to today, I'm close to 150 doors personally. I got the development of the church going, vice president of Nexus, and it's expanding into other arenas as well. But my point now of this segment is the opportunity that I had no longer exists in Rhode Island. It's not even close, to be honest. People that are getting involved in the investment portion of real estate right now are absolutely getting decapitated. They're getting slaughtered. They're getting filleted before they even get started. And I'll give you an example. A client of ours bought a three-unit property in Lincoln, 600 and change, right? I believe he spent $625,000 for a three unit, paying 7% interest, all right? How is he going to make that work, period, or question mark? How is that going to work? The rents that he needs, right? He told me, he's like, I need about 2,700 on the first floor. I need 2,000 2200-ish on the second floor, and I need at least 1800 to 2000 on the third floor. And these are just regular two, three bed apartments, double parlor. Nothing sexy about it. So that's not him being a greedy fat cat landlord. That's him trying to make his expenses. That's him trying to pay for what he bought. So the rents are crazy because the acquisition costs are crazy. The maintenance costs, the recurring costs, right? Our insurance, our utilities, our property manager, the things that are there every month, our tax bill, you name it. Those costs are so inflated that you need X amount of money on top of your purchase from the tenants in order to keep that wheel spinning. So there's a common misnomer out there that the rents are crazy and the landlords are greedy and people can't afford it. Well, you know what? The landlords can't afford it either. But they are the ones that chose to buy it for that price at that interest rate. So they have to live with that. Okay, that's the way it is. But it's just interesting to me in just 5 years how much the tides have shifted. So obviously, I don't want to discourage people from investing, but what I'm telling you is that it's certainly much, much more difficult than it was when I got started. If I was trying to get started now, if I was trying to get into this business, imagine that, three family, 600K. All right, and the rents that I need are crazy. The rents I would need are crazy. One eviction, one vacancy, one bad incident, and it's all over. Now I'm digging into my 401k. I'm digging into my savings account just to keep it afloat. So what do I say about that? I just say we are now turning into what Boston has. We are turning into what parts of Connecticut have, what parts of New York have. Rhode Island has lost its secrecy, you can say, and our intimacy and our insulation, because people are coming in from those areas and buying up property. Okay, it's not like we're off in our own little corner of the world like we had been. People are looking at us, oh, like Rhode Island, you can get a three family for 600K. I'm from Boston. I spend $1 million for my three families. So therefore, now we have competition and we have cash competition too. People are coming in with their checkbook saying, how much is it? Oh yeah, here we go. No financing. So we're competing with the big dogs, and in some cases, hedge funds too, are buying up portfolios. They're buying up other management companies. So it is a fierce and ferocious market. And I'm just calling attention to that because I live, breathe this every single day, and I have been, all right, since the 2013 when I got started. And you need to be able to inject yourself and show your advantage, but also remain humble and omit your ego. Okay, if it's not going to make sense, don't just do it to do it, or because you're worried about your peers, what they're going to say, or your family, what they're going to say. You can stay on the sidelines. Things will shift, things will change, and hopefully after the election, the interest rates come back down to stable and things become more reasonable. And for people that have bought properties now with these high rates, those rates are not permanent. I get that. The rates can be refinanced, but at what point and at what cost? So just keep this in mind. And I made a video about this. You could check it out on the Nexus Property Management YouTube channel. It's titled, rightfully so, quote, there's no more money on the ground in Rhode Island. And it's actually one of my most popular videos. People seem to love it. It's on our channel, and you can check out a bunch of our other content there. So again, thanks for listening here to my riff. And if you want to get in touch, check out Nexus on the web, nexri.com. Just ask for Greg. I'll give you a holler back, and we can opine together. So thanks again for listening here, and thank you for Emilio for letting me co-host. And we have coming up next, Al Robinson from LaPointe Insurance. All right, everybody. Al Robinson, say hello, the esteemed LaPointe Insurance Agency. Al, what's going on, brother?
Hey Greg, it's good to be on. Thanks so much for having us, man. Good to see you as always. It has been a long winter, right? Like many of us, and we're ready for spring. So I think a good topic to kind of talk about today would be getting your home ready for the springtime. Some good tips to get your home ready, to get it in spring shape, and really to help maybe avoid some insurance claims.
All right. So what are you thinking? I mean, what are some easy peasy things that, and I want you to talk about this, Al. I want you to talk about single family homeowners. I want you to talk about landlords, commercial and residential. Hit all three.
Yeah, man. I think, a lot of these things really can't apply to all three. I think one of the mentalities you have to have, Greg, is, just like you would have a checkup on, your body, like a physical once a year, I think it's a good thing to do that for your home as well. I mean, let's be honest, the, New England winters can really be brutal. And a lot of people, and I've got put into this category as well as a homeowner, is, you forget about certain things that happened during the winter, and one thing leads to another, and now it's springtime or summertime, and you have a potential insurance claim on your hands. So some really, quick hit things that most people do this time of year. The first thing is, with the daylight savings coming up, is to check on your batteries in your fire alarms and carbon monoxide detectors. That's kind of a quick hit. Can be very important. A lot of times fires do occur mainly, most of the time, more so in the winter months, but they can also occur in the summer months too. So definitely want to check on those things. Having a fire extinguisher in your home as well, check on those as well. Those actually have to be pressurized at the right pressure to work, and they do expire. So if you have one of those in your home, which you should, check on those. Make sure that the pressure is still good and that they're still in working condition. If you have any wall AC units, and this is really for the single family homes, but if you're moving into a multifamily, let's say you're a tenant, check on those as well. Make sure the cords are in good working order. Again, we have a few weeks, I think, before the ACs get turned on and broken out, but it's a good time to check those things now. Water heaters, furnaces, boilers, things of that nature, you want to check on those things. Those things can leak. I always use the example. I had a home a few years ago where I woke up one morning and found a puddle right outside my water tank. I caught it just in time. It could have been an absolute disaster of a claim, but you want to check on those things. The life on those water heaters, anywhere between 8 to 10 years. So if it's time to replace those things, you definitely want to do those things sooner than later. As for the inside of your home, those are really the quick hit things. I would also say, if you own a home, and whether it's a single family home, multi commercial home, check on some closets, check on some spots that maybe you're not you have had a set of eyes on in a few weeks or months. I know there's that closet we all forget about where you have stuff just like hoarded in there or stored in there. If it's on an upper level, take a peek in that closet. There could be potential for, if there's roof damage on your home, a potential leak that you could miss. And again, if you're not checking it now in the spring, spring turns to summer and fall pretty quickly, you could have a leak that, again, you just maybe never have caught that could result in, a claim that you may have to file. So as far as the outside of the home, I think those are a little more pressing. I think the big thing that a lot of people should definitely be checking on, again, whether you own a single family, multi-commercial property, are roofs. A lot of roof damage can happen during the wintertime. And that's a testament to, snow and ice buildup. I had a client a few weeks ago give me a call where he had, when it was a super cold, but cold enough to have, an ice dam that resulted in his shingles getting lifted off his roof. So you want to check on those things. Definitely want to do that now, more so I think now that it's getting nicer out. We've had a few days in the 50s and 60s up here in Rhode Island. Do that now, hopefully, knock on wood, we don't have any more snow. Definitely check on those things now while you can, and try to mitigate any potential roof claims down the road. I also think too, Greg, to tie in with roofs are gutters. I think a lot of people do clean their gutters in the fall. I think it's a good time to do it in the fall, but also more so in the spring. Like you do it in the fall, you may have a lot of the leaves, you know, leaves cleaned out of those gutters so they don't clog. But a lot of times, you know, and we've had a crazy winter with some crazy rainstorms, not necessarily a lot of snow, but a lot of rainstorms and windstorms up here. I know my yard right now is an absolute disaster. But yeah, you want to make sure you check those gutters for any type of debris, you know, twigs, any remaining leaves, things like that. Those things, believe it or not, you know, can potentially grow vegetation, which means, you know, you may not have it right now, obviously, but down the road, you may have like, you know, dandelions or vines or some kind of weed growing in your gutter that could potentially clog that. You know, they say what, April showers, is it what, April showers bring May flowers, right? I think that's the saying, right? So we have a couple of weeks here until we're in April. So yeah, those showers will be coming. So you want to make sure your gutters are definitely clean and have, you know, the maximum flow through them, so you don't have any water backups when those crazy rainstorms do come. Again, another big thing is the yard cleanup, you know, and more so not just the yard cleanup and any type of debris, but any type of overhanging branches, leaves, you want to get those trimmed. I think another good tip too is to, if you have trees, you know, in your yard, look up. You know, you could have potential where over the winter you had, you know, again, this happened in my yard a couple of years ago. I had this tree that a big branch got just knocked down, but it was still stuck in the tree. You know, those things can be a hazard, you know, and sometimes even a liability. So it's a good time to look up, check those leaves, check those trees now while there's no leaves in them, because you could have overhanging branches, you know, hanging limbs, and they could be, you know, potential disaster if they fall, you know, whether it's on a property or God forbid they hurt somebody. My last tip here is driveways and walkways. And a lot of insurance companies are really taking, you know, a fine tooth comb through these and they're inspecting properties. You know, a lot of these things over the years, and it sometimes can happen as soon as a couple of years, they do generate, you know, cracks and crevices in them. And that's due to, you know, water seeping in, it freezing, it opening, you know, sometimes roots grow through, they cause cracks and crevices. Those can potentially be, you know, a liability claim. God forbid you have something on your property that, you know, trips or falls over those things. So you want to have those things checked out. You know, any uneven surfaces, cracks, broken asphalt, you know, pavement, things like that. Those are some things that you definitely want to look at to make sure that if they are, you know, damage to them, have those things fixed right away. And, you know, potentially avoid any type of liability.
So 2 points, right? The first one, April showers bring Mayflowers. What do Mayflowers bring?
What do Mayflowers bring? Oh,
come on,
that is a good point. New England, yes. That's a great New England dad joke, right?
That's it. And I'm not a father that I know of. But I got the jokes ready for when I am a father. Okay? And the second thing, Al, is you brought up some thoughts in my mind. I'm a landlord. Folks know me at Nexus here. So I'm always thinking about mitigating liability through my responsibility. So what I do is I go and I do semi-annual inspections at my rental properties. I do common areas, interior, exterior, garage space, storage space. I go through the whole property. And I'm looking for three things. Number one is evidence of smoking. Okay. Smoking is not allowed in my buildings. And it's in our lease as well. So folks, you can smoke whatever you want, but you have to do it outside. Okay. And by outside, I don't mean on the third floor porch or opening your window and just blowing out the smoke. I don't want smoking. And I think you guys are in the same boat. It's a big liability. And there was a fire last week in Lincoln. My good friend Nick Balzano of Zano Property Management sadly was managing this house. It caught on fire, three family in Manville. It's a total loss, and allegedly it started from smoking. So smoking's a big deal for me. Second is clutter. I don't like clutter. It's a safety issue. It's also a fire safety issue. So I don't like when tenants store things in the hallway. Okay, they pack the basement and they block the furnace, they block the hot water tank. So look at that as well. And finally, for me, it's combustible materials. I don't want to see gas. I don't want to see oil. I don't want to see people fixing cars and they got all linseed oil and they got, you know, mineral spirits in the basement. I don't want to see none of that. So I just wanted to bring those points up.
Yeah, and those are all good points. And I think, you know, I always look at it as an insurance agent, Greg, from a two-way street, kind of very similar to, like, you know, in your case, when you're a landlord. Yeah, like the clutter piece, it can be a fire hazard, but on the same hand, it can also be a liability. You know, somebody could trip, fall, you know, in the event of a fire where you have to evacuate a home quickly.
Right.
The last thing you want to do is have somebody trip and fall, you know, fire or not, right? Those things can be a liability. Same thing with the hazardous combustible materials, you know, also another liability, you know, God forbid you have one of those containers that are holding these things leak, you know, now what do you do? So it can open up a crazy can of worms. I think the one thing I will probably tack on is, you know, now that we're through the holidays, right? You know, Christmas, Valentine's Day, all those holidays. I think the one thing that I also probably would mention is, you know, now is a good time to also reassess your personal property. You know, over the past few months, a lot of people maybe have gotten new things, you know, jewelry, watches, you know, sports memorabilia, things like that as gifts. You know, it's also a good time to look at your insurance policy to see A, do you have the coverage for these things? Or B, do they need to be endorsed on a policy, you know, as a floater? That way, if something does happen, you know, you have the right coverage. So something to consider there, you know, a good time to look at those things. And again, like I said earlier, to just really reassess your home, you know, as a whole, and sometimes reassess your insurance as well to make sure you have the right coverage.
Hmm. Now, people love stories. I like stories too. Tell us a story, Al, of something recent that's happened. It could be a claim, it could be a funny thing, it could be a, you know, somebody got in trouble and was doing the F word fraud, right? Tell us something that's happened in the last couple months that might pique people's interest.
Yeah, you know, insurance, man, I mean, I've been here at LaPointe for a while. I feel like I could write, you know, 12 books at this point by now with all the stuff I've heard and seen. Insurance is a crazy, crazy industry, especially right now with the way things are going. I think the craziest thing that I've seen, I wouldn't really call it crazy because it is common, but I helped a client out over the summer with buying their property. And, you know, it was a closing that happened, I think, end of July, beginning of August. And this is a really nice house. And you know, the home was situated on a lake, which I thought for sure was not in a flood zone. So I did my due diligence, looked it up. Home's not in a flood zone. Long story short, gentleman buys his home, closes. Literally about 5 weeks later, he calls me and goes, "Hey, I just got a letter from my mortgage company saying I need flood insurance. My home is in a flood zone." Ooh. I'm like, no way, man. Like, I know this property at the back of my hand, you know, there were some things I had to do, you know, to get the policy right. So I look it up, and yeah, like, they went out literally a week after this gentleman closed, reassessed his property. And yeah, it's now in a flood zone. So it's a tough part of my job to tell people, listen, like, you know, we kind of had the egg on our face here because like 6 weeks ago, this property was not in a flood zone, but we had a crazy, I mean, you know, Greg, we had a crazy, crazy spring, summer, fall, winter with all this rain. You know, now some of these properties that were never in a flood zone now are in a flood zone and require flood insurance. So I wouldn't call that like a wonky, odd situation, because that does happen. And, you know, unfortunately, it's happening more frequently. But I would say it's something to keep an eye on, especially over the next few months. You know, we don't know how the weather's going to be this year. I know, you know, we had some crazy winter rainstorms, you know, which, again, you don't see that too often. We had that, you know, big melt, you know, back, I think, December or January, where a lot of people's homes got flooded because of that. So keep an eye on those things. You know, flood insurance is, whether you're in a flood zone or not, very accessible to people, you know? So keep an eye on that. If there's ever potential where you need flood insurance, you know, reach out to us, reach out to your insurance agent, because it's something that can definitely go a long way if it's utilized in the right way when you need it.
Awesome. And very quickly, Al, what was the lake? Where was the lake?
Yeah, it was Eastern Connecticut, right over the Rhode Island line, Putnam. So that, yeah, that area. And
wow, that's a flood zone though.
Yeah. And I grew up in Chepachet. So like, you know, you hear, and you, again, as a kid, you don't really take heed of it, but you hear and you see it, you know? And, yeah, I was very familiar with this area, 'cause like I said, I grew up out kind of that way. And yeah, it broke my heart. You know, the client was awesome, great kid. And, you know, he happened to catch it, you know, again, that's not something that we get notified of, you know, he happened to catch it. And, when I got that phone call, I was like, oh man, like, you know, you feel bad. But end of the day, that, you know, that's kind of how this works. Sometimes with insurance, you kind of have to play by the rules to make it work.
And my last dad joke, and then we got to go, is if you can't chip patch it, chip paint it. That's what you do. Again, everybody, Al Robinson, LaPointe Insurance. How do they get in touch with you, Al?
Yeah, absolutely, Greg. That's a good one too, by the way. But you can reach out to us via our website, lapointeins.com. You can email me, arobinson@lapointeins.com. Always available for any insurance-related questions or concerns you have.
Awesome. And we got Mike Auger, Patriot Property Inspections, coming up next. Thanks again, Al and John over at LaPointe.
Thanks, Greg.
Hey everybody, it's Emilio Desperado, and you're tuned in to the Desperado Team Real Estate Show here on News Radio 920 1047 FM. Hey, I got to tell you, one of the most important parts of buying and selling a home is home inspections. And that's why we felt it necessary to have Mike Auger with Patriot Home Inspections on the show to give you vital information. So Mike is the best in the business, in my opinion, and my clients rave about him. So we've invited Mike on the show today to give us some tips about the inspection process.
Hello, everybody. It's Mike from Patriot Property Inspections here. And today we're going to talk about how you can use home inspections to prep your sellers and how you can prep your sellers for the home inspection. Kind of a dual topic here. If you're out there selling your houses and working with a seller, and in today's market, there are some things that you need to prepare them for to make the home inspection process easier and make the home inspection process more beneficial to your seller. So first, let's talk about actually listing the house. This is where you, the real estate agent or real estate advisor, you get the listing and you're helping that seller decide how much to sell the house for. Now, I get it. House prices are up. Yep, interest rates are up. But buyers aren't scared away, so you can still price the house high. They're not going to be afraid to buy the house because there's no more shock value to those things going up. They're sort of kind of leveling off in the last couple of years. However, the fact that those prices are up and interest rates are up does mean that buyers' buying power and their finances are a bit relatively diminished, you know, at least more than it previously was 4 or 5 years ago. So they are going to be more discerning about the houses that they buy and the condition that those houses are in. The days of Uber desperation and buyers waiving home inspections and putting clauses in there to make up the space between the listing price, the purchase price, and the appraisal price and everything, those days are gone. So the days of you just settling for a garbage house at top dollar are just not there anymore if you're buying property. They're going to ask the seller for concessions after their inspection. So I get it. Sellers are being advised by their realtors that houses have a low inventory out there, so the price is high. That is true, but you just got to be prepared that every house is not a gem, and sellers really need to price the house accordingly. Yes, you're going to take into account the location and the size of the house and the square footage and the number of bedrooms and amenities and all that stuff, but recently, condition has ticked up a little bit on that list of how important the condition is, dictating how much that house is really going to fetch on the open market. So the house needs to be priced accordingly. Perfect example of concessions that are going to happen during a home inspection. Last week, we did an inspection for a buyer. We went through and looked at the house, explained everything that was wrong with them, and you know, the house had some structure issues with the chimney. It had some wood rot on the exterior. Nothing earth-shattering, but there was a bunch of carpentry needed. The boiler was working, but it was old, among other things. So the deferred maintenance on the house and some of the items that needed immediate attention, like the chimney, caused the buyer to go back to the seller and say, hey, all right, we still want to buy the house, but now we'd like $30,000 off the price. Well, the seller didn't even renegotiate, and the buyer ended up walking. The deal fell through. This is something that sellers, if you're pricing your house at top dollar, are going to have to expect if you don't know the condition of your house. Buyers are not just going to buy everything. And this is just one example of many that we've had recently. So as the listing agent, you really need to prepare your sellers to honestly look at the condition of the house. It's hard for them to make that emotional connection go away and just switch back to a logical connection. Everybody thinks their house is awesome. Everybody's like, no, I've done this to the house. I've done that to the house. I did all this and that, and everything is great. Okay, fine, and I'm not trying to be rude to you guys who do a lot of DIY work, but realistically, when a new buyer comes in and they bring in their home inspector and they see a lot of Mickey Mouse type repairs or stuff that's good enough but not really correct, it makes buyers a little bit nervous. So if you don't want your seller to have an unpleasant inspection process when the buyer comes through and gives them all the news about the house, which is usually surprising to a seller, the best way you can do this to honestly gather data about the house, get an accurate disclosure, is to have a pre-list inspection done. I know I've talked about this before, but in this market where buyers are becoming more discerning, but sellers, on the other hand, still want to get the best tippity-top dollar they can for their house in this market that is still a strong seller's market, the best thing you can do is bring in a home inspector. Don't worry about what they find. Have us check out the house, and then you can get an honest assessment of the home. If there's things wrong with it and you have the means to fix it and you're selling a house that are going to affect the purchase price, now's your chance to fix them. If there are things that you don't have the finances or you just don't have the inclination to fix, now's the time to have that pre-list inspection and disclose them and take them off the negotiating table for the buyer. Because at that point, if you gave them the inspection report, the buyer, I mean, that's part of your disclosure, and they're not going to try to renegotiate. One thing that a lot of sellers don't understand, all right, we have the buyers come through and they do a home inspection and they find some things wrong with the house. Let's take chimney flashing, for example. We find it leaking all the time because it's lead and it leaks. It's one of those things. So on average, to do flashing on a chimney to stop that roof from leaking around the chimney costs around $1,000 if you call around and get prices from roofers. However, buyers don't ask for $1,000. Buyers ask for $2,000 or $3,000. A little plumbing repair that might cost you $200 or $300. Buyers are not going to ask the seller for $200 or $300. They're going to ask the seller for $600 or $900. On average, I did read somewhere that buyers, when they're negotiating with a seller and they're negotiating dollars after the inspection, they're leaving themselves a cushion because they don't want to get jammed up. They're going to ask for two to three times what they think that repair actually costs. Now, the sellers can negotiate that and be like, all right, well, we'll just take the hit. We'll pay you three times what flashing costs, and we'll pay you three times what that little leak over by the boiler costs, and we'll just wash our hands of it and move on. Or they could have done a pre-listing inspection and maybe fixed those things for the real cost that they actually cost to repair and, you know, not be held hostage by not wanting to put the house back on the market. Or they could have just disclosed some of those things and taken the buyer's leverage to negotiate them away. Never have I ever done a pre-list inspection that has not paid for itself multiple times over by accurate disclosure or performing repairs that were coming due. So now that we've got that out of the way and how you can either should use a home inspection to help your seller prep the house or prepare your sellers that home inspections are going to happen, let's talk about the inspection. On inspection day, let your seller know when home inspections happen, what actually happens. The buyer's going to come through the house. They're going to bring in an inspector or a team of inspectors to check out everything in the house. This could be everything from the structure, the mechanicals, pest inspection, mold, radon, septic, well, water quality testing. And you could have two, three, four, five different people there checking out the house. They're going to want to climb in every single nook and cranny of the house. Be aware that that's a thing that's going to happen. And just, you know, tell them, hey, if there's stuff that you got to put away or move out of the house, if you've got pets that maybe aren't super friendly, or you got a bunch of stuff piled in front of the electrical panel or the attic access, get that stuff cleared out and ready to go so the inspection team can do their job and then, you know, get out of the house. Now, negotiating after the inspection. So the buyer's going to do their inspection because they're not waiving them anymore. We already talked about that. Tell the seller they're going to probably have to negotiate. Stuff comes up. There are no perfect houses. Brand new construction houses that are $1 million. There are no perfect houses. Things come up. That's my job as an inspector to find everything wrong with the house. I'm good at it. A lot of other guys are too. They're going to find stuff wrong with the house. Tell the seller, when surprises come up, if you chose not to do a pre-list inspection and invest that money ahead of time, it may cost you on the other end. The buyer is going to ask you for that financial concession, which, again, might be about three times what the repair would have cost you at the beginning. Or the buyer might ask you to perform repairs. All right, we don't want money, but we want you to fix A, B, C, D. Oh, yeah, and we want receipts from licensed contractors that you did it right. These are real things that happens. Another thing that's a real thing that happens, there are buyers out there right now who've been looking for a house for 2 years. They're very discerning. as interest rates jumped a little bit last year, they're willing to continue to wait. So they're willing to walk away. The sellers don't have 100% control over the situation anymore. So just prep them that if you don't negotiate reasonably with a buyer, they're probably just going to walk away and go look at another house, and you're going to have to put the house back on the market. But make no mistake about it, if defects come up, buyers are going to have to ask for concessions. Now, doing that pre-list inspection, giving you the chance to fix items or make accurate disclosures is super smart. It's the best expenditure of money that you can make as a seller. It's better than painting. It's better than doing all those little things for curb appeal. It's better than probably staging. No offense to all those guys that do those things, but the accurate condition of the house is the best thing to get nailed down before you get to your buyer coming through the home. In any case, just remember, even though the market is still a strong seller's market, it is not so strong that buyers are unwilling to ask you for concessions or even make offers on the house less than asking. I know it sounds crazy to say that because I haven't seen those in a few years, but those type of offers will come back as the good properties sell and the marginal properties tend to sit. So expect buyers to make offers below asking and then even still maybe ask the sellers for concessions. This is Mike with Patriot Property Inspections. I hope that gives you a little insight from the seller's point of view as to what to expect during the home inspection. Hopefully, it gives you a great idea that using us to do a pre-list inspection and get that knowledge to the seller first is a smart idea and certainly a worthwhile investment. If you have any other questions about what we do, please reach us online at homeinspectorri.com. Thanks a lot. Have a great day.
All right, everybody. One of my favorite segments, Jennifer Jaber. Jen, we're going to talk top five mid-March events today. What's going on?
So Saturday, March 16th, is the Aging Disgracefully comedy show at the Courthouse Center for the Arts. It's from 7 to 9:30. Rhode Island Comedy Hall of Famers Charlie Hall and Doreen Collins have created a new hit show called Aging Disgracefully. It's a mix of stand-up, songs, skits, all about the perks of trying to stay young to the pitfalls of getting old. So from what I hear, I actually haven't been able to see it yet, but I'm trying to clear my schedule to go to this one, but I hear it's pretty hysterical. And probably relatable to anyone, you know, kind of heading in the direction of aging. Friday, March 15th is the 23rd annual pre-St. Patrick's Day bash from 4 to 11 at the Narragansett Cafe in Jamestown. The Jamestown Fire Department hosts this event, and it includes a musical performance by Rhode Island Professional Firefighters Pipe and Drums Band from 5 to 6, Howling Roads from 8 to 11, and a buffet dinner starts at 4, and it's a $20 admission at the door to benefit the Kitts Family Scholarship Fund. So it's a great benefit event, a fun way to start celebrating St. Patrick's Day weekend, and a great chance to catch some local musicians. This is always a great time. Sunday, March 17th is the world's shortest St. Patrick's Day beach parade and all-day party. It starts actually at 8 a.m., but the parade starts at noon, so you can dress up, be your own float, get creative. It's from the Ocean Mist to the pub, I believe. So it's in Matunic, and you know they're right next to each other, which makes it the shortest parade. The day starts at 8 a.m. The Natix Duo will play from 12:30 to 3:30. Pubby Oki will be from 8 to 12, and there'll be traditional Irish dinner served actually all weekend, so Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and their regular menu as well. So it's always a great, wild, fun time. And again, that's actually on St. Patrick's Day, which is Sunday, the 17th. If you're looking to entertain the little ones on St. Patrick's Day, Sunday, March 17th is the St. Patrick's Day roller skate party from 11 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. at United Skates of America. Join for St. Patrick's Day for tons of family fun. Enjoy skating, make your own sundae, meet and greet, dance party with SpongeBob and Patrick, a glow skate, glow sticks, games, prizes, and more. Your admission includes all-you-can-eat cheese pizza, ice cream sundae bar, glow stick, and meet and greet. And then I think there's also like laser tag and rock wall and other things to do for purchase. And last but not least, the legendary Wailers featuring Junior Marvin will bring love to the Greenwich Odeon at 8 p.m. on March 16th. Enjoy your favorite hits the way Bob intended them to be heard. You'll hear favorites such as One Love, Get Up, Stand Up, I Shot the Sheriff, Is This Love, Exodus, Jammin', and so many more that I'm sure come to the top of the mind if you were A Whalers fan, so again, that's a great opportunity. It comes, you know, off the heels of actually the One Love movie that's out. So if you've seen that, you might be a little more inspired to go and see the show.
And Jen, I'm on your website again, like last week. There's hundreds of events, right? And I see all the way up at the top, Dave's Fresh Marketplace. So are you currently accepting any advertisers that may want to jump on your website?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so
how do people get in touch with you for that?
The best way would be either email me at jennifer@riblogger.com, or you can always call me at 401-741-1593.
Awesome. And what are you doing to stay young? You mentioned that at the beginning of your segment. What do you do?
Well, actually, I go to what's called South County Boot Camp and Coaching for Women. It's an amazing program that takes place in South Kingstown. What I like about it is it's indoor, you know, in the chillier weather, and then we move outdoors, and it's just kind of a full body cardio, everything included experience. So I do that. I, you know, obviously drink tons of water. I try my best to eat really healthy. I do a lot of juicing, and so I try to, you know, stay on top of it. How about you?
Same thing. I go to Olympia Fitness in Cranston. Steve Ariello owns that place. And they also have a nutrition program that I do and physical therapy. So I'm doing the triple threat up there.
Yeah, that's awesome. I know physical therapy and stretching. I just started. There's a heated stretching class. That's pretty awesome at a great yoga studio that I go to also that I feel like sometimes we forget the importance of that part of it, because it's so easy to just to go in, do your workout and leave. And then later on, you're like, I mean, I guess as you get older. Why do I hurt so bad?
Yeah, I forgot to drink that thing called water. But
yeah. I know.
Well, again, Jenna, go ahead.
Sorry, I was just going to say, it is just like, I realize how important it is all the time. Even, you know, with my daughter, she's like, I have a headache. And I'm like, did you drink water today? She's like, no. And I'm like, well, there you go.
Every time. And again, folks, Jennifer Jaber, riblogger.com. Check her out. And the top five mid-March events. Thanks again, Jen.
Thanks. Have a great week.
All right. All right, everybody. Again, Greg Rice here from Nexus Property Management, filling in for my good buddy, Emilio DeSpirito. He's out in Las Vegas. He's in Sin City representing Engel & Volkers. And a big thank you to our guest today, Happy from Movement Mortgage, Albert Robinson from the LaPointe Insurance Agency, Mr. Mike Auger, Patriot Property Inspections, and last but not least, Jennifer Jaber, RI Blogger. And again, thank you. And thank you for tuning in this week. And we'll see you next week. I'll be hosting 3 weeks in a row.